Today's episode is for you if you think you can do it alone. If you think you don't need support or support is a weakness or something like that, this show, this episode is for you. This episode is also for you if you think you need support, but you can't find it, or you think no one will be there to help. Welcome, my name is Jeffrey Schwinghammer. This is the Expand Your Ability podcast. This is a show about movement and embodiment, how our body influences our mind and vice versa, how our mind influences our body. And it's about how we can change the habits that cause us pain, frustration, and disconnection. All right, let's get into the topic today. Big work needs big support. This is a phrase I heard from my business mentor, Jesse Corin. He said, "Big work needs big support." And when I heard it, it made sense. It was a click of like, oh, yeah, that's right, it does. And this is not something I would have necessarily thought in the past. It's been through my years of working in the Feldenkrais method and other movement modalities of looking at movement and internal support that like, oh, the aha was ready for me. This aha around, yeah, that's right. Big work needs big support. It's taken me some time to get here. And I would like to share about that. My story a little bit here. But before I get into that, I want to lay out a question for you, dear listener. What is your big work? What's the big work of your life right now? So what do I mean by big work? What is that project? Is it a business? Is it dealing with emotional challenges like grief? Or loss of dealing with past challenges that are still present with you in your body today? Is it something with family, with what you want to do with your future? This is what I'm talking about by big work. And big work is tough without big support. So let me start with a movement metaphor. And then I'll talk about my story, about me and how I found support. And I'll share an idea about support with you. So that's what we'll be getting into. So the first part here is a movement metaphor. So this is a pretty simple metaphor. And if you have the ability to try this in the space you're in, please, you're welcome to. So it's very simple. So take something that has some heft to it. Find an object. It could be like a water bottle that's full. Could be a Bluetooth speaker. I don't know what you have. Find something with a little bit of heft to it. Okay, great. Now take this object and hold it out at arm's length. Great. And just keep it there. All right. And as you hold it, where do you work? How much work is it? Yeah. Do you have a sense of how long you could hold this object here? Do you have a sense that, I could go all day? Or, no, my time is limited here. All right, cool. So let's change gears here. Take this object and now hold it over your head. Right? So, and think of yourself as sort of a tree or a pole, that the way your bones are organized is that like you have this vertical support through your body into your arm and you're holding up the object. Do you think this is easier or less easy than holding out at arm's length? Now, you might have some physical limitations with your shoulders or something, so that might affect this experiment. But I'm willing to guess that you'd probably be able to hold that object over your head more easily and longer if you had to than out at arm's length, right? Because at arm's length, it's not just the object's weight. The object and your arm is acting like a lever. And so because the object is that much further away from your body, it has greater torque on your body through your arm, right? It can actually pull as if it was a heavier weight because it's that far away from your body. But when it's close to your body and vertical, well, you have this simpler support. Your arm's not hanging out to dry, right? You could even bring the object close to your chest, right? And how much work is that comparatively, right? Bring it real close in. So in a movement context, we can look at support in this way. That the way our bones and our skeleton are organized, and this is the job of every awareness through movement class, every Feldenkrais class, is that we look at these skeletal relationships to find internal support. And the clearer that internal support is, the less extraneous effort we need. Our movement becomes easier when we do that. So that's cool. All right. So how does this relate to the big work of our lives? Well, let's go back in time a little bit. So while I'm doing really well now, and I'm moving better than ever, and I feel better than ever, when I first had interest in Feldenkrais, first interest in working with my body in some way, it was because I was in a really, really rough place. I had back pain, chest pain, even throat tightness. And it was very clear to me that I had physical issues. So I was really compelled to look at the body side of things, right? I was unknowingly entering into this world of embodiment, that's the term for it, or somatics, that's another term for it, body-mind connection. So many ways to describe this world here. And so when I came across the Feldenkrais method, It's a method that uses movement to improve how you function, how you move, that internal support. And in doing so, helps you to shed the bad habits that pulls you out of support. And when I read Feldenkrais's book, Awareness Through Movement, it spoke to me in a way that I could just appreciate. I was like, okay, this makes a lot of sense to me. Spoke to me about how thinking and feeling are related, because I could feel that for myself, how my feelings and my movements, or well, tension essentially, my restrictions, were related. My physical pain had a clear connection to my insecurity, my sense of being small, really. So when I first began to dabble into the space, I first went with some recordings I found, and then I sought out some functional integration practitioners. So this is Feldenkrais one-on-one private sessions. We call it functional integration. And when I tried it initially, and I actually really appreciated it, because I was really internal, really private, real restricted. In my movement, in my being, and there was something about the Feldenkrais lessons that were just so welcoming. They were gentle in a way. There was a kindness and a humanness. I was really shied away from a lot of other things, in a sense, because I didn't really trust the other things I had heard of at the time. And Feldenkrais kind of came in as something that was, I felt like respected, and I didn't feel like my trust triggers were really triggered. I felt like I could just be there in the space, and I welcomed the touch and the care. So that was a really big deal for me. I rarely sought out anything else at the time. And overall, I was generally resistant to getting help. And this kind of lingered for a long time, actually. I did a few sessions, and then I'd move and go away, and, you know, life would get in the way, and I'd try again. And there was something there. And yet, there was also something else that had to be learned and moved through for myself in terms of really seeking others for support. So instead of seeking others for support, I relied a lot on using recordings. So ATM, awareness through movement recordings. So I found some, and I got some CDs, actually. I got a whole bunch of CDs. Like I said, I think I still have them here. So many CDs. And it was my way of being with the work. I preferred it. I was studying at my own pace, my own interest. It just felt comfortable for me. And here's the thing, as I was going through all these lessons, and I was trying to sort out how to work with myself, I had no idea at the time that I was doing really, really big work by myself. I was attempting to detangle a web of insecurity, a rat's nest of lies and half-truths of whatever I've learned from my experience and my culture that wasn't really helpful. It was big work, right? I was trying to quiet my reactivity. I was trying to practice how to do something new and better and to deal with the physical pain I had. And there was also some emotional pain. And I just had no idea actually how big of work all this was. I was attempting to change the course of my life from pain into health and free movement and change how I relate to myself and how I relate to others. Really big work. It's like turning this giant, giant ship in the ocean, right? That thing doesn't turn on a dime. You gotta work that thing to get it to turn around. Because of course, you know, all of us are deeply rooted in our experiences from our past. And until we become aware of our experience, we have no idea, I think, in how deep those anchors are set into our past. It's just an unknown space. It's in the depths and the darkness of the ocean. We don't know how deep and rooted those anchors are. And so for me, it was a really confusing and challenging process. A lot of starts and stops, zigzags over many years. And as I continued, the path revealed to me more and more that I needed to rely on and trust other people more. I became more comfortable seeking out lessons with practitioners, working with other professionals in other fields, eventually taking a practitioner training program myself. This was, and to some degree still is, like, it's a deeply rooted pattern for me to want to work alone, to rely on myself. This is a bias I have. So where does a bias like this come from? Well, I think our culture somewhat encourages it. We don't have large communal families living together, right? We generally live in separated, independent houses, right? Like, people live apart from each other. our work is often disconnected from our family lives. There was the messages of every man for himself, look out for number one. I think it's kind of worse now than when I grew up. I mean, I read about there being a loneliness epidemic, especially for men. And I will attest, it's not the easiest thing in the world in your late 30s to make friends. Or, I mean, you can definitely make acquaintances, but to make a real lasting friendship, yeah, it takes time and it takes a little bit of luck. And actually, I think it takes a lot more skills. And so if you don't really have the skills to, and the sense of like, I can and it's good to make connections, like it can be really tough. And another reason for me to have this particular bias to work alone is because, you know, I was in a lot of pain. And pain for me served to separate me. It did not bring me together with other people. And that's a real tough thing, because that's when you really, really need support. Another element of this is insecure attachment. So I had on my mentor recently, Adam Lane Smith, really great episode with him. He talks about attachment theory. And with attachment theory, it's about how you can give and receive love. How comfortable are you with connecting or not comfortable with connecting with another person? And so this is for, of course, romantic relationships, but it's also friendships, work relationships, family. It's all relationships. Attachment is kind of broad in that sense. And he describes insecure attachment. At the base of it, there's a belief that says, I can't trust people to act in my own best interest. Right? There's two types of insecure attachment, which might not be necessary to go into, but for both of them, that's kind of at the root. I can't trust another to act in my own best interest. And so when we have beliefs like that, they're not always conscious. They're actually often unconscious or like just acted out. They're felt more than they're spoken in our minds. Or we don't even realize that's a pattern. It's just, we just assume inability to trust. Or we look for evidence of the inability to trust. And this is the funny and terrible thing about insecure attachment, or just insecurity in general, is that it's not obvious that we're insecure, or it's not obvious what of our behavior is actually stemming out of insecurity, as opposed to we might think it's actually our personality. So that's the thing. Like, it's not obvious that we settle for less. We just settle for what we think is what we deserve. We assume it's our personality, and so we go, oh, I don't like working with people, or I can't handle it, or I don't want to, or I'm better off on my own, all these things. We assume that is us, our personality. It's somehow true to who we are. And I tell you what, that is malleable. That can change, right? And maybe should change, right? Like, I would actually encourage you to consider, if any of this is resonating so far, that actually your personality and who you think you are might actually be not as fixed as you think. That you may enjoy connection in a way that you hadn't before. Another thing about what's so funny and terrible about insecurity is that insecurity feels better than security. Insecurity affirms itself as like, it's safer, right? Okay, I'm going to go work by myself. I'm going to do this by myself. It just feels better than putting yourself out there at risk of being rejected or abandoned or disregarded, right? Like, all that just seems way worse. And I'll just do what I do instead. And so part of all this is what we don't do, right? If I continue to work by myself, right? Like, I just, that's my bias time and time again. I just don't do these other things. I just don't even think to do it sometimes. I don't even think to ask for help, right? It's that world in which we never ever do, and it never comes to mind. That is a real, it's a little bit of a trap. It's sticky. It's hard to find until we have a model or we see experiences that then get us to think in a bigger picture than we've had before. Right. So I mentioned earlier, awareness through movement, the Feldenkrais movement classes. It's always about asking the question of how are we physically supported? How does that affect our breath? How does it affect our balance and our counterbalance? Yeah, we're always in the question of how is it that I am, and how is it that I'm changing through this lesson? How can I find that, oh, I'm actually wasting a lot of effort here, and this could be much easier? So these questions are so important in the awareness through movement process. And what I'd like to invite you is to ask the question, how am I supported socially? How could I be more supported socially? To be in that question. If you're in an awareness through movement class or have a practice already, I invite you to bring that question in too. How can you be supported socially? How are you already? And do you like it? Do you dislike it? Would you like to change it? So, what is your bias? What is your bias? Do you prefer to work alone? Do you prefer to seek help? We need to confront our biases, for sure. And first we have to know, what is our bias? Is there something in the story I shared that helps you reframe your experience to get a different perspective? Now, I'm going to share an idea about getting support. And it kind of seems like a small idea. Like, how could that be big support? Like, this is big work requires big support, of course, right? But like, I'm going to offer something that might seem a little small, but it might be the big support that you need. So I've been doing this accountability group with a couple of friends in the past few months. And it's a very simple thing. We just check in the morning with what we're going to do that day, and we check in the evening saying, hey, I did the things, or I didn't do the things. And it's so small. I mean, like, as I'm saying this, I can hear the damn voice in my head, and it says, shouldn't you be able to do all your work without an accountability group? Like, shouldn't you be able to do that? Wouldn't that be ideal? The voice is much quieter now, but like, I can still question it, right? Like, shouldn't I be able to do this on my own? Why do I need to check in? And it helps. It helps to have friends who are interested in cheering me on, and just to formulate it into words and have someone hear that and be with me on the journey. It's actually a lot. and it's so simple. And it just helps. You know, and I think it's because we're social creatures. Like, it's fun and meaningful to work together. So I offer that as a possible idea. It's a real simple thing. Get 3 or 4 friends. Have a little bit of accountability. What is the big work you're working on? What are you doing today? Check in at the end of the day. What have I done? Right? And no one has to be legalistic or authoritarian or the punisher. No one has to, slap each other's wrists or anything, you know? Just the simple fact that there's someone there, you're not alone on the path of whatever you're doing. That's pretty great. So, please consider it. All right, so what is the big work for you? What are you working towards? And what if it's actually bigger than you think it is? And what if you need more support than you think you do? Where could you find a person or a community to help you with that? Like with our movement metaphor at the beginning, where you hold out that object. What are the ways in which you're holding yourself out to dry? All right. I wish you luck with your big work. I hope this has been a helpful reframe for you. Now, real quick before I go, I have a request. I wonder if you would keep your eyes out for me. I'm taking all that I know in Feldenkrais, somatics, embodiment, Kanisa, and more, and I'm putting it forward to help a group of people. So I worked in filmmaking and video production for about 10 years, and then I had to step back and do less because of the back pain I had and the issues I described earlier. And this was the main reason that sent me on my Feldenkrais and embodiment journey. And now my back is more capable than ever before, and I'm directing the biggest film of my life. So that's why I'm committed to helping filmmakers and videographers with back pain, to help them restore their backs so they can work more jobs and move and feel better than ever before. Here's the thing. If you free your back, you free your body, you free your mind and your creativity and your power. I wonder if you know anyone in the film or video world suffering from a bad back. Does anyone come to mind? Please let me know. I would really appreciate it. You can contact me through my email, jeffrey@expandyourability.com. You can also find that in the show notes. I appreciate you, and all the best to you with your big work. Thank you for your attention.